This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The state of California is considered a leader in the fight against climate change. Democratic Governor Jerry Brown has positioned himself as a climate change warrior, signing bills to promote renewable energy. But a new report by the group Consumer Watchdog has found a disturbing link between concessions to energy companies and donations from those companies to Brown's re-election campaign and some of his favorite charities. The report, entitled Brown's Dirty Hands, found particularly that, quote, 26 energy companies with business before the state greased the skids via $9.85 million in political donations to Brown's gubernatorial campaigns, ballot initiatives, and favorite causes. It concludes that, quote, the Brown administration, despite its public posture hostile to the oil industry, privately aided oil companies at key junctures while receiving major oil industry contributions. My guest is Lisa Tucker. She is the consumer advocate with the group Consumer Watchdog. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
So first, as I mentioned, Brown positions himself as a climate warrior. I mean, overall, hasn't he, as governor, taken California further than the state has been taken in the fight against climate change, for renewable energies, et cetera? I mean, overall, would you say his record is pro-climate justice, or is it mixed?
There is no question that Brown has done a lot in terms of making California a very progressive state on the environment overall. He has set building efficiency standards. He has increased fuel efficiency standards. He has done quite a bit to mandate that we use more and more renewable energy. All of those things are really laudatory, but I'm afraid he's also stepping a bit on the throat of his own song, because there is an undertow of donations coming from the biggest oil companies and utilities that actually is slowing our transition away from the fossil fuels that he purports to want to eliminate.
And actually, it's important for us to also set the context. We're talking about California here. What is it, the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world, even though it's one of the 50 U.S. states. This is a huge economic powerhouse. It is also a center of energy, both production and consumption. In recent years in particular, there's been a fracking boom in California with the discovery of shale oil. A lot of oil companies that have operated in California have wanted to skirt regulations to be able to undertake their hydraulic fracturing projects. There's been a lot of public opposition. And on it, it seems as though Jerry Brown hasn't quite stayed true to his title of being a climate warrior. Let's talk about specifically what you found in your report. Very disturbing set of correlations between the concessions that the Brown administration made to oil companies and just well-timed donations, let's put it that way. Can you give us one big example that may jump out at you?
Well, sure. I mean, we can just take Occidental, and we can take former Governor Gray Davis, who became a lawyer for that company. There was a huge pressure to make sure that fracking continued apace in California. And actually, Jerry Brown had appointed two very diligent oil and gas regulators who were very interested in protecting aquifers in the state of California from any kind of pollution from injections of waste or any other kinds of chemicals by the oil industry, which obviously was involved in fracking. And they wanted the companies to prove that before the injections took place, their wells were safe, meaning that the integrity of the wells, the casings, all of that were in great shape so that we definitely wouldn't have the aquifers poisoned. And there was a big movement among the biggest oil companies and the Western States Petroleum Association, which is their enormous lobbyist in the state of California, to basically start to, a campaign of complaining that this was holding up fracking permits and making the state inhospitable to their business. Gray Davis pressured Governor Brown to fire those two oil and gas regulators. who were trying to tell Brown that going forward and issuing those fracking permits would actually violate federal law, so under the Clean Water Act. And he went ahead and actually fired those two regulators. And the timing of donations made by oil companies, oil and gas companies, and utilities to Brown's campaigns, to the Democratic Party, to his initiatives, to his causes, they're very interesting to look at because they often are made either to, it looks as though they're often made to either set the table and prompt positive action or to reward some kind of a regulatory or legislative action that was taken to benefit them.
Right. So while it's hard to prove the sort of quid pro quo, you see a disturbing pattern, right?
Right. It's a disturbing pattern, but it's very hard to prove a direct quid pro quo. There are some interesting things, however, in terms of the proximity of some of these donations. And also, if you look at it, you know, it's almost $10 million that were donated during this administration of Brown's between 2011 and 2014. If you look at the sweep of that, what's interesting is these energy companies and oil companies actually donated $4.4 million to the California Democratic Party in that time period. And the Democratic Party turned around and donated $4.7 million to Jerry Brown's reelection campaign in 2014. And obviously, you know, you're not supposed to, it's illegal to earmark. But it's very interesting to me that the sums almost completely match up.
So just to clarify, then basically you're finding that energy companies have given certain donations to the Democratic Party. The party has then turned around and given similar sums to the Jerry Brown campaign, almost as though it's kind of a middleman. And the appearance of that is quite troubling.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right. You also point out in your report that PG&E, another major energy institution, the vice president, Nancy McFadden of PG&E, became Jerry Brown's executive secretary. How disturbing is this revolving door that Nancy McFadden is representing?
Well, I think that it's very disturbing. I mean, you know, he took someone who was very high up at PG&E in the business and brought her in as his top aide in charge of both legislation and appointments. This person, Nancy McFadden, came from PG&E with a $1 million cash payout from PG&E. Another up to $1 million in stock options in PG&E. And she even signed a non-disparagement agreement with the company that she would do nothing to harm it and could even be called upon to help defend it. And so really that kind of a situation, you know, you've got the fox guarding the hen house. You know, you've got preceding your office with utility executives. Another one came in, Dana Williamson, who also was working at PG&E, came in. She's now left, but she was also a top aide. And both of them at one point or another over this time period worked as consultants to the Democratic Party. So, you know, one has to wonder if they were involved in, you know, helping the party raise money while they were working for Brown. Being from the utility industry, it just makes for a very troubling picture of who really is running the show here,
right.
In terms of the appointments to the Public Utilities Commission, in terms of how these utilities are treated, in terms of how oil and gas companies are treated.
Now, the report Brown's Dirty Hands also points out that a major beneficiary, it appears, of Brown's positions and decisions as governor happened to be his own sister, Kathleen Brown, who has a stake in Sempra and several other companies. Can you tell us how Kathleen Brown has benefited from her brother, the governor?
Right. Yes, I mean, Kathleen Brown sits on the board of Sempra, which is the parent of the Southern California Gas Company. The Southern California Gas Company owns a huge natural gas storage facility called Aliso Canyon. And that facility was responsible for a giant well blowout that spewed, that created the largest methane leak in U.S. history. That leak was the equivalent of having 1.7 million cars on the road for a year. It was, so adding to, you know, carbon emissions greatly. It sickened many of the 15,000 people who were forced to relocate, who had all kinds of symptoms, nosebleeds, you know, sore throats, gastrointestinal problems, and so forth. And what's interesting is Kathleen Brown actually sits on one of the committees at Sempra that would be responsible for overseeing, you know, the safety and the technical sort of aspects of its various divisions. But what makes it even more interesting is that she also has a stake in a fracking company called Forestar, which it's a company that owns land and then leases the land out to companies, oil companies that think there might be oil underneath it. But it also happens to own 1,000 acres right next to Aliso Canyon, where it's aiming to build luxury homes. And so there would be every reason for, you know, that company to want to calm and soothe fears that somehow the Aliso Canyon storage facility is unsafe, because, of course, that would then threaten the value of the investment.
I want to play for our audience a video that Consumer Watchdog put together to summarize this report, because the links are many and the pattern is disturbing, and this video helps to really put it all together in a minute and a half. Here's a video produced by Consumer Watchdog based on the report, Brown's Dirty Hands.
Governor Jerry Brown has made being green a big part of his talk.
Make no mistake, climate change is real.
But a review by Consumer Watchdog of hidden Brown transactions finds a different kind of green is talking. Oil, gas, and utility companies gave $10 million to Brown's causes, often within days of winning big favors. When Brown fired oil regulators at the request of Occidental Petroleum, Occidental gave $500,000. SoCal Edison cut a secret deal in Warsaw, Poland, which is now under criminal investigation, bilking customers for billions. The same day, SoCal Edison gave $130,000. What's really controversial is that Brown used the California Democratic Party to hide his dirty laundry. Between 2011 and 2014, energy companies that received favors gave $4.4 million to the California Democratic Party. Then the California Democratic Party gave $4.7 million to Brown's reelection campaign. One example, after Brown weakened fracking rules, Chevron donated $350,000 to the Democratic Party. Then the party gave $300,000 to Brown. The same day, Chevron gave Brown an additional $54,000. Weeks later, Brown came out against a tax on extracting oil in California, which saved companies like Chevron billions. Read about it in the shocking new report from Consumer Watchdog, Brown's Dirty Hands.
And we'll post a link to that report from our website later today. We're watching a video, or listening to it if you're our radio listeners, produced by Consumer Watchdog on the report, Brown's Dirty Hands. My guest, Lisa Tucker, is with me. She's a consumer advocate with a group, Consumer Watchdog. Lisa, the report clearly has drawn many disturbing links. The question now becomes how to hold somebody like Brown accountable. He's a Democratic governor. He's supposed to be liberal. He's supposed to be above such dirty doings. But of course, as we know well, the Democratic Party is often guilty of some of the same kinds of things that the Republican Party is. So the question is how to hold somebody like Brown accountable.
Well, I think it's extremely difficult to do that. You know, one way is, you know, there is a lawyer who is suing to get access to emails that were written between Brown and Brown's office and the PUC about various dealings on San Onofre and other matters. You know, Brown is blocking that, and Kamala Harris is blocking that so far. So, it's very, very difficult to compel something like that to be released. You have to have a much, much bigger effort, I think, also to reform the Public Utilities Commission in terms of passing really toothy legislation. You know, unfortunately, the governor actually vetoed a package of legislation that would have gone a long way towards this. This year, I think we have a much weaker package as a result. We need to have the right of appeal. And right now, you don't really have a right of appeal in court on some of these PUC decisions that are taken. So, you know, that's another area that really needs to be kind of examined.
And where can people get a hold of the report, Lisa?
You can get a hold of the report at www.consumerwatchdog.org. You can find a link to the report. You can find a press release about the report there.
And we'll post a link there from our website later today as well. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us.
Great.
Lisa Tucker is a consumer advocate with the group Consumer Watchdog. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.